as I always do. I need to make a few preliminary comments before I get started in my subject. Pastoring is one of the hardest jobs, if not the hardest job, that I've ever had. It's difficult. For a long time, I wasn't interested in pastoring. I was happy and content just evangelizing, telling people about Jesus. Churches started to approach me early on in my ministry. I did not have a burden to pastor a church. I wanted to preach about Jesus. Both of those coincide together. My heart just wasn't in pastoring. Finally, through the years, the Lord started working on both ends, and I got elected to my first church. And I take this responsibility with the utmost importance. I want you to know that I try my best to pray for you. When it comes time to present a message, I don't merely flip through the book and say, I believe that'd be a good subject this week. But I try my earnest to get down and ask God, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to bring to them? Lord, what is it that they need to hear? And sometimes that job is more difficult than you can ever imagine. There's times that I lose sleep. There's times that I'm laying in bed and I can't sleep. I have to get out and wander around and I get down. I take this job so seriously. Somebody made a comment in Sunday school. They say, I love to teach on the Bible, but I get sometimes hesitant or I get concerned because I'm afraid I'm going to teach somebody the wrong way. I understand what you're saying. Because that terrifies me. It terrifies me in aspect that I might mislead somebody or I might say the wrong thing. I want you to know this morning that if I've ever done anything to offend you, or if I've ever said anything out of the way that's offended you, I want you to know that's not my desire. That's not what I desire. I don't desire to offend anybody. I desire to preach the Word of God and what He lays on my heart. If anything that has ever been good, if I've ever said anything that's ever been a help to you, give all the honor and glory of it to God. Every bit of it. And if I've ever said anything out of the way, it's all on me. If it's been good, it's come from God. And if I've ever said anything, I'll pack the load, it's my fault. And I want you to know that. I love this church. I love each and every person that comes in and out of them doors. And it's my desire this morning, if you're here and lost and separated from God, that you might be saved. Church, it's my desire this morning. I've really struggled this week. I've struggled in a thought of, Lord, what do I say to stir up an excitement in them? Lord, what do I do, Father, that you might stir up the joy in their hearts? Lord, what can I say? Lord, what can I do? And I've come to the realization of it this morning, there's nothing that I can do. My friend, you've got to desire it more than anything in this world. For God to come in and sit amongst His people and His Spirit come in this morning, I pray that you desire it more than anything. To feel His Spirit and to feel His presence this morning is what I desire, and I pray that you desire it as well. I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning, and then I'll get into my subject. Do pray for us. Leviticus in the 24th chapter. This was concerning the oil for the lamps. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive, a pure oil, olive beaten for the light, and cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony and the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from evening until morning before the Lord continually, and it shall be a statue forever in your generation. And he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord to burn before the Lord continually. And that's Leviticus in the 24th chapter, first verse down through the fourth verse. But he told them, he said, you should command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light. And I want you to know this morning, and first and foremost, that there's a great responsibility that falls on behalf of the pastor. There's a great responsibility that falls upon the preacher of the gospel and him carrying the word of God. But my friend, I want you to know there is a responsibility for each and every child of God that they bring with them the oil, which is the substance of the Holy Spirit. And my friend, that they bring it. The Lord commanded them. He said, you tell the children of Israel that it's their job to bring the oil. And this morning, my friend, if you want a service that is filled with the Holy Spirit and is filled with power from on high this morning, you've got to bring it with you before you ever step in the door here. You've got to bring it from home. It's not something that we can just up and manifest. But my friend, this morning, you've got to bring it with you. He said it's of a pure substance. He said not anything will do. He said but of the purest of the olives they were to be beaten and drained that they might take that oil and they might put it in the lamp that it might burn continually forever, morning and afternoon. Now I realize this morning that the job of those priests was to go in and to trim the wick and do all of those things this morning, but I want you to know that you've got a part in it. You've got a job to do. And sometimes I feel like maybe we're going through the motions. We come in on Sunday morning and we'll sing a song or two. Bless your heart, Brother Strode. You do a wonderful job, brother. Our piano players, and we're blessed here. But we'll go through the motions and we'll have a song or two. We'll have preaching, another song or two, and then we'll go home. And you say, well, preacher, if that's what God wants, God wants us to worship Him and praise His holy name. Bring the oil before you ever come into the house of the Lord. Bring the oil with you that the light might shine out to a lost and dying world. Come ready to work. Come ready to labor. I thought a lot about this week, about laboring. I thought a lot about this week, about working for God. And this morning I want to look over here in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, and I realize this morning I'm coughing. And my voice isn't maybe where it needs to be. But I want to look over here at some familiar text. And this morning, I promise you, I don't bring anything new to you. Very familiar scripture this morning. We find here that the Lord was wearied from His travels. And He came into this woman there at the well, at Jacob's well, and this Samaritan woman had came up that she might draw water. And the Lord began to speak unto her and to talk unto her about water that was springing up everlasting. And she made mention of those things and began to say, let me just read here in the 13th verse. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, and neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, go and call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou didst thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet, and our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hours come when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, and we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is come, and is now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and he is, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that ye speak unto thee am him. And no doubt, I know this morning we're all familiar with this, but I want you to understand that this woman that the Jews normally would have no dealings with, they were looked down upon as far as a society of people. And my friend, we know that the disciples had went to buy meat that they might eat together. I'm going to have to slow down. My voice ain't going to hold out. They had went to buy meat. And as Jesus was there, He took it upon Himself. Jesus never stood by idly. He was always about the Father's business. He was always about His Father's business and His Father's will. And He took this opportunity. No doubt, I believe He knew this woman was coming. And His disciples, no doubt, couldn't even reason within themselves, probably, why He was sitting there talking to this Samaritan woman. And as He began to talk to her, He told her about a well that was springing up of everlasting. He said, of this water. He said, when you get a drink of this, He said, you'll never thirst again. He began to tell her all things. He began to examine her life. He knew every aspect about her. My friend, I'll tell you today, I believe in all accounts that this woman got a taste of that living water. My friend, just as soon as He saved her, she didn't just sit around idly. She didn't just merely go back, but she left her water part and she went back to the men of the city. And that's where I want to take up reading here in our 27th verse. And it says unto this, came His disciples and marveled that He talked with a woman, yet no man, what seest thou, or why talkest with her? And when the woman then left her water pot and went way into the city, and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did, is this not the Christ? And then they went out into the city and came unto Him. My friend, there's a common trend go around today, and I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But there's a theory going around, even amongst some of our people, that unless you hear the gospel by a God called preacher, you can't be saved. And my friend, that's about as close to heresy as anything I've ever heard. I want you to know this morning that we've all got the gift of God within us. My friend, if you've been saved and born again, there's something within your heart worth testifying about. My friend, God has put a light in there. And my friend, it's our job as God's people to stand up and proclaim it to the world. It's our job. He said, let the redeemed say so. Tell them about what God's done for you. Stand up and tell somebody about your salvation experience. Share it with the world. Listen, she didn't just merely go back to the city. She said, God's put something in there, and I've got means to tell somebody about it. If we're not careful, we'll take a precious gift of God that He's placed within us, and we'll bury it down in there. Oftentimes we'll walk throughout this life and we'll be cold and indifferent. My friend, but I want you to know that there's a warmth that comes from God's Spirit. He wants to use us. And we ought to have a desire in our heart to be used by Him. Whatever it is, God, take me and use me. If it's for a song, God, okay. How many times, how long has it been since you sat in your seat and asked God, Lord, give me something to do? Look at this city. Look at the lost in our families. Look at the lost that comes in and out of these doors. How long has it been since you said, Lord, give me something to do? You might say, preacher, I'm not good at speaking. Neither am I. But I want to be used by Him. Lord, take me and use me. This woman didn't just sit idly. The very thing that she had went for, she left her water pot. She said, I've got to get back. I've got to tell them I found Him. The one that's been prophesied about. I've got to let them know I found Him. How long has it been since you've told somebody? How long has it been since you've told somebody about what God has done for you? We studied this morning in Sunday school, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. What is the vision that you see this morning? What is the direction? You say, well, Pastor, you're supposed to know. I don't know. What I do know is this, that I want Him leading and directing every step of the way. We come in and out, but I want it to be for the glory of God. I'm telling you, church, I've struggled this week. What do I say, God, to motivate them? What do I do, Lord, to stir them up? What do I do? And church, I want you to know you've got to desire it. I hope right now as you sit in your seat, you're asking God, Lord, give me some. Listen, How many times have you sit there and you're worried and concerned, and just as soon as He gives you what you've asked for, then you sit down on Him? He gives you a little something to do and you say, well, Lord, I don't want to do that. Take the gift of God and go with it. I will say this. I believe the Lord uses the preachers that have been called. He says, how can they hear without a preacher? I believe today He's still calling ministers to send out in the world, and I believe He uses that as His main source to get the gospel of message out. But I want you to know this morning that if He has saved you, my friend, He's called you and He's chosen you. You realize that this morning? He's chosen you. He's chosen you to be used by Him. Listen. It says, as this woman left her water pot, and she went in the way into the city and saith unto the men, come and see a man. My friend, this morning, that's still in my very weak way. Listen to me. We live in a society and a church day and age now. If the preacher preaches too much to the lost, people get weary. They say, well, he needs to preach to the church. My friend, if the pastor preaches too much to the church, people get weary. He needs to preach to the lost. Let the preacher preach the convictions that God lays on his heart. Leave that up to God. And trust in Him that He's following the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not up here for my glory. I'm not up here this morning to get patted on the back. I want to do what God would have for me to do. Listen to me. My desire is, when it comes to these lost, that they might know about a man named Jesus. That came into this world as we sung that song as a baby, born into a virgin mother, and that He lived His life without a spot or a blemish. And that as He hung there on that cross, that He took every bit of sin. That crown of thorns that they placed on His head, my friend, was the sin that was crashing down upon Him. Every drop of blood that was shed for me and for you. I want to tell them about the one that died, that gave His life. And my friend, on the third day, He come out of that tomb victorious. I want to tell them about Him. Is that still, my friend, not the mission of the church today, is to tell people about Jesus Christ. To reach out to a lost and dying world that they might be saved. And you say, well, preacher, that's your responsibility. It's every one of our responsibilities this morning. To tell them about the hope that's within you. You're worried and concerned about your lost children. Get down and seek God that He might send holy fire conviction upon them. You say, preacher, I've been praying for them for 30 years. Keep praying. Have faith in the woman. My friend, my God is big enough. If He can save me, He can save anybody. He's big enough. have trust and confidence in the Lord. She said, come see a man. This message didn't go any way the way I'd planned on it this morning. He said, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. They said, Master, we went and we bought meat. Sit down here. He said, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. Boy, I'll tell you something, church. How long has it been since you've been filled up with the Holy Spirit? How long has it been since the Spirit of God has just come in and just filled your heart up? And you say, whoo, my cup's overflowing this morning. I don't know how much more of it I can handle. And God just keeps pouring. And He just keeps pouring it out on you. And before you know it, my friend, you're just consumed in it. And all you can do is thank God. How long has it been? Let me ask you this. How many of us asked God for that before we darted in for those doors right there this morning? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to offend you. Last night I went to bed finally and I was praying for this church. And when I rolled over in the bed this morning, you know what I was doing? I was praying for this church. Lord, would you show up this morning? I mean, God, would you show up in a big way? Lord, show up in a big way. Set our hearts on fire. How many ask? Listen to what he said. He said, therefore, he said unto his disciples, one to another, hath any man brought unto me? Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My friend, I'm nothing. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. I'm just a nobody. That's all I am. That God has called unto His marvelous work. I promise you, I'm nobody this morning. But my desire is to eat the meat of the Father, because His meat, His Spirit has filled me up more than anything ever has. And my desire is to finish His work. That's my desire. I've got means to go through. Boy, I tell you. The Snead family sang a song, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Boy, I'm telling you this morning, I wouldn't back up. Brother Strode, I wouldn't take nothing this morning for my journey now. God has brought me to this point, and I know God is going to take me home. I wouldn't take nothing for it. No matter where this life leads me, no matter, you say, well, preacher, that's hard to say. No matter the tribulations that I come, I know I've got one that is going to see me through it. I know I've got one that I can trust in this morning. Thanks be unto God, I plan to finish my work, and I want to finish well. You know what I desire more than anything. Boy, it's nice from time to time, I'm not going to lie to you, to know that you appreciate it. It is. It is. But I tell you what I look for more than anything. One of these days when I walk, when I lay this walk of life, and I enter into the portals of glory, my Lord and Savior looks over at me and He says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Is that what you desire to hear this morning? That you didn't glory after the man's pat on the back. That you didn't glory that you might be lifted up their praise. But that your Lord and Savior, one day after a while, might say, "Welcome home. Come on in. Look what I've prepared for you. Look what I've been working on for you. Well done. Now it's time to rest." That's my reward. It may not seem much to you, lost person, but boy, I'm looking forward to it one day after a while. I'm looking forward to seeing him. You asked me this morning, there's people that says, "Boy, I'm looking for a mansion." I've heard people all of my life say, "Boy, just inside the gate. If I could just make it just inside the gate. Or, boy, preacher, if I could just have me a cardboard box over yonder, I'd be happy." Church, I'm looking for him. I'm looking for the one that's got the nail-scarred hands. I'm looking for the one that gave his life for me. So you asked me this morning, what's my reasonable service? I want to tell them about him. I want to tell them about Jesus. Listen. Oh, I've been scared. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Say not, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and all ready for harvest." My friend, as they no doubt had their season of sowing, no doubt this was probably around the time of October or November, I don't know that to be exact, but they began to look out and see. My friend, he said, "Don't think upon the time that we'll go in and reap the harvest." He said, "But behold, for the fields are wide and ready for harvest." He said, "Those Samaritans were coming and they were wanting to hear about Jesus." Listen to me, my friend. Do you realize this morning how delicate our work is? You say, "Preacher, there may not be anybody here lost this morning." I don't know if there is or not. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I don't mean to pick y'all out. But Brother Paul, I thank a little Soshi. I thank a little Claire. I thank of Brother Philip and them's little girls. I thank of Blaine. I thank of different ones. You say, "Well, you're picking these out." Listen to me. I don't know if they've reached the age of accountability, but honey, if they ain't, they will one day after a while. And I think about them. And you say, "Well, preacher, tonight, if Lord willing, we'll have maybe an election and we'll vote somebody to come and help in our revival, folks." Listen to me. Revival's 6 months off from now. You know, we could have revival today. I think of Brother Tyler's little. There's times I'm not lifting me up. This ain't what this is about. There's times when I'm passing through here, I'll come in old church. From time to time, I'll get down where you sit at. And I'll pray for you. And there's times I'll come up here in this altar and ain't a soul here but me. And I'll pour my heart out to God, Lord, when the time comes. Lord, would you prick their little hearts? I'm not looking for the harvest coming in June. I'm looking for the harvest to come now. It's good to make preparations, but honey, we may not have 6 months from now. We're not promised tomorrow. And all along, there's people that's dying every day and going to hell. And you say, preacher, it's just little old me. What can I do? Tell them about this. Don't do it for my sake. Do it for what God has put in here. Tell somebody about what God has done for you. There's a whole lot in my life that I can't remember about my daddy. There's a whole lot in my life that I can't remember about my grandparents. Even though those memories are precious. But do you want to know what I hold more dear precious than anything? Because I'm going to say them again. They held a testimony. Last night, Braxton was laying in the bed with his mama. And he was talking about death. He was trying to understand about this body. It's going to die and it's going to decay. I try to be careful with how I talk to them. He was trying to understand. But I want him to know that one of these days this body's going to die. And he's going to have to be saved. Church, let's not look 6 months in advance. We've got today. We've got right now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God has given us. Lost person, you can be saved today. You can. Listen. It says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth root unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, and he told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode them there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know this is indeed the Christ and the Savior of the world. He said, wherein that you reapeth, you receiveth wages and gather fruit unto eternal life. And he that soweth and reapeth may rejoice together. My friend, if there ever was a position that I've ever entered into, that I get to reap wherein that I did not sow. It's pasture. This church has almost been established and been set up and going for almost 100 years. And there has been men that have stood behind this book board, and not just men. There's been deacons. There's been lay members. There's been mamas and daddies and grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and nephews and all sorts of people who have stood up and testified under the gift of God and what He's put in their heart. And my friend, today, we are reaping from what they have sown. We are reaping. But my friend, wherein we reap, we must also sow back. We have to continue to keep sowing. I think about, I'm about done. Brother Strode, if you'll get us a song. I'm about to close. I think about over here in the 20th chapter of Matthew. When it talks about the man and his household. And he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And I know all of us are pretty familiar with some of these parables this morning. But I want to look over here in the 16th verse. He said, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And many be called, but few be chosen. But few chosen. Excuse me. My friend, this morning, no matter what stage God has called you into this work, you may be in the late stages of life. I kind of feel like we're in the 11th hour. But no matter what stage He has called you in this life, you've still got a work to do. You can do something. Even if it's just praying before we get here. Even if it's just praying in your seat, God, send your holy fire conviction down on these walls. You say, well, preacher, I'm trying. Keep doing it. Ask God to give you something. Is it worth it this morning? To me it is. That's why I'm going to share a little something else with you. I've told y'all, sometimes it's hard for me to be intimate when we're on Facebook all the time, but I've just had to learn to get over that. Monday, I was coming home from work. And I said, God, if you'll give me one more time. If you'll give me one opportunity, Lord, just one more to go back. I'll do my best to lift your name up. I'll try not to make a mess again. Lord, give me one more time to try to go back. How many of us is praying, Lord, give me one more time to go back to your house? We take it advantage. We take it for granted what God has given us. That we just come in and just kind of go through the motions. Let's stop going through the motions. Ask God to give us something to do. I get tired of hearing myself. You say, well, then hush, I'm done. Go ahead, brother.
93, you ever lose your focus? I have. I do. Number 93. Lord, I come.